Today we'd like to see the title of Job's Prosperity, Mockery, and Innocence in Job chapters 29 through 31. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1, in chapter 29, verse 4, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 3, verse 11, because he has loosed my bowstring and afflicted me, they have cast off restraint before me. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Last question 3, in chapter 31, verse 29, if I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, what does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? The provided text is a summary of the book of God, detailing the suffering of a righteous man, that is, a man who lived by faith, and the counsel he received from his friends. God's declaration concerning him was that he was a perfect man, one who loved God and hated evil. Chapter 1:8. The book of Job tells the story of Job, the righteous man from the land of Uz, whom God himself described as blameless and upright. Despite his pity, God allowed Satan to test Job's faith. As a result, Job loses all his possessions, his children, and his health, suffering from painful boils. Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, come to mourn with him. Their main argument is that Job's suffering must be the result of a sin, and they advise him to repent. In contrast, another friend, Elihu, later suggests that suffering sometimes a means of purifying a person, not always a punishment for sin. Job consistently protests his innocence, maintaining that his suffering is not a consequence of any sin he has committed. He remembers his past prosperity in chapter 29, where he is mocked by others in chapter 30, and chapter 31, he gives a lengthy defense of his innocence. In the last time, Job 28:28, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord in awe, not in punishment, is correlated with knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and departing from evil. To fear the Lord in all, you may know his word, understand it, apply it wisely to a situation, and depart from evil. So, it's recommended daily to pray to the Lord and to study the scripture, because we live not by bread alone, by every word of God. Chapter 29, verse 1. Job further continued his discourse and said, verse 2, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me. Job remembers his past prosperity and laments his current suffering, longing for the days when he was blessed with abundance. He said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me. Verse 3, when his lamp shone upon my head, when by his light I walked through darkness. Verse 4, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent. Job is reflecting on a time when his life was illuminated by God's guidance. He recalls feeling God's presence and understanding the path laid out for him as God led and counseled him with divine wisdom. Verse 5, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, Job recalls with great sadness the days when his 10 children were alive and his family life was filled with goodness. He longs for the time when my children were still around me, remembering what he had before they were all killed in a tragic accident. Verse 6, when my steps were bathed with cream, and the rock poured out rivers of oil for me. Job recalls a time of great prosperity when he had an abundance of olive oil, so much that it was like rivers of oil flowing from the grindstones used to press the olives. This imagery of cream and olive oil flowing in abundance highlights the wealth he once had in his agricultural society. Verse 7, when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in open square, when Job served as a leader in a community, he would sit at the city gates, which were the traditional centers of judgment. This indicates that Job was a respected judge. However, reflecting on his past accomplishments brings him dangerously close to pride, a deceptive sin that can separate him from God. The text suggests that while it's not wrong to remember past good deeds, it's far better to focus on God's blessings, as this helps prevent pride from taking root. Verse 8, the young man saw me and him, and the aged arose and stood. Job recalls a time when he was highly honored by his community. When he entered the city gates, young men would stand silently in his presence, and older, more respected men would also rise to show him deference. This demonstrates the great respect and honor he commanded as a leader and judge. Verse 9. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles was hushed. Their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. 11. When their ear heard, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw, then it approved me. Job remembers about a time when he was highly respected and honored the leader. People sought out his counsel and wisdom, and his judgments were so sound that those who heard his word blessed him. Verse 12, because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no help. Job was respected a leader because he was a champion for the poor, the downtrodden. Actively stand up for those in need. Verse 13, the blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and turban. It implies that Job was a judge in his community, as he was highly respected, and people sought his counsel to settle disputes. Verse 15, I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. Job is now a tormented righteous life he lived, which was previously confirmed by God. He is recounting his virtuous deeds to demonstrate that his character and actions align with God's assessment of him as a perfect man who loves God and hates evil. 17. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his death teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest and multiply my days as the sand. 19:20. My root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all light on my branch. My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand, my bow. Job is using the metaphor of a well-nourished tree to describe his former life. The tree's roots spread out to the waters, allowing it to constantly draw moisture from the stream, which symbolizes the deep and secure foundation of his past prosperity and spiritual well-being. This constant nourishment kept him strong and thriving, just as a well-watered tree flourishes. Job recalls a time in his life when he felt a sense of freshness and strength, like a tree with roots spread out toward. This imagery symbolizes the former vitality and secure foundation. 21. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths wide as for the spring rain. It described the new vegetation of spring, absorbing the last of the rains, a time when new plantings drinking deeply to thrive. New plantings drink deeply thrive, plants. 24. If I mocked it then, they did not believe it. They, the light of my countenance, they did not cast down. I chose the way for them, sat as a chief. So I dwelt as a king in the army, as one who comforts mourners. Job remembers his past, reflecting on the days of prosperity, blessing, honor, respect, and glory. He contrasts these memories with dramatic and painful change to his present circumstances. Chapter 30, verse 1. But now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdained to put with dogs of my flock. Job contrasted the former high status with his current humiliation, stating that even the lowest member of society, the herdsmen and their dogs, are now beneath him. He had suffered the extreme loss of his family, possessions, health, position, and good name. The young people who now mock him should recognize that their own physical ability are temporary and that all people are equally loved by God. Verse 2, indeed, what profit is the strength of their hands to me? Their vigor has perished. They are gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late to the wilderness, desolate and waste, who pluck mallow by the bushes and the broom tree root for their food. They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at death. They had to live in the cleverest of the valleys, in caves of the dearest of the rock. Among the bushes they prayed. Under the nettles they nestled. Job describes the nomadic people as having limited vocabularies and being mentally deficient due to poor diet. He says they were weak and emaciated and would make sounds among the bushes they brayed like jackals instead of speaking. They were sons of fools, yes, sons of vile men. They were scourged from the land. And now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to speak in my face. Job expresses his deep humiliation, stating that even the lowest people, whom he once considered inferior, now look down on him. He feels this is a profound insult, comparing it to being spat on, which in his culture is one of the worst forms of public disrespect. Because he has loosed my bowstring and afflicted me, they have cast off restraint before me. Question 2. Even amidst his profound pain and suffering, Job recognized that God had allowed his trials. He did not lose his faith. The book of Job teaches us that we can maintain our trust in God, even in the face of calamity. Verse 12, at my right hand, the rebels arise. They push away my feet. They rage against me the ways of destruction. They break up my path. They promote my calamity. They have no help. They come as broad breakers. Under the ruinous storm, they roll along. Terrorists are turned upon me. They pursue my honor as the wind. And my prosperity has passed like a cloud. Job's memories of his former life highlights the stark contrast between his past honor and respect and his current state of horrible disdain and suffering. Now my soul is poured out because of my plight. The days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me at night, and my gnawing pains take no rest. Job expressed his constant suffering by describing the physical pain that pierces his bones, causing him to be unable to sleep at night. He uses the phrase gnawing pain to convey a deep, persistent ache. By great force, my garment is disfigured. It binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. God has taken away my riches. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you regard me. But you have become cruel to me. With strength of your hand, you oppose me. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it. You spoil my success, for I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Surely he would not stretch out his hand against a heap of ruins if they cry out when he destroyed it. How Job is protesting his innocence again. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? But when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My heart is in turmoil, cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. 20, I go about mourning, but not in the sun. I stand up in the assembly, cry out for help. Job describes the effect of his disease on his body. His skin has turned bad, not from sun exposure, but from an internal ailment. The knot in the sun means his bones burning with his heat, implying a fever or deep internal inflammation that torments him. 20, I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin grows black and falls from me. My bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the voice of those who weep. So we're just saying that the sounds of his flute, which should bring joy, now sounds like weeping and mourning. This reflects his deep sorrow and the profound change in his life, where even moments of potential happiness are filled with grief. 31. Verses 1 to 12. No sin in his heart. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above, and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked, and just for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Job, in his suffering, affirmed his innocence by declaring that he had not even taken the first step toward the sin of adultery, having made a covenant with his eyes not to look at the woman with lust. He explained that this was a conscious choice to live a righteous, godly life, knowing that destruction is the fate of the wicked. His self-defense can be logically divided into three parts. First, that he had no sin in his heart, 1 to 12. Second, that he committed no sin against his neighbor, 13 to 23. And third, that he had no sin against God. This declaration serves as a powerful testament to his character, which had been previously confirmed by God's own words. 5. If I have worked with falsehood, or if my food has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest skill, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart worked after my eyes, or if my spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow another it, and let my harvest be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by women, or if I have lurked in my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her. For that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction, and would root out all my increase. Job declares that lust is a destructive force, likened it to a fire that consumes to destruction. This statement highlights the ruinous consequence of lust, which can lead to personal devastation, including sexual transmitted disease like AIDS and herpes. He observes that countless people have been consumed and destroyed by their own desires. 13 to 12, no sin against neighbors. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servants, when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Do not he who made me in the womb make them? Do not the same one fashion us in the womb? If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of a widow fail, or I eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it, living a life of luxury while others around you are in need, is a theme addressed in the Bible, particularly in the book of Job. Job, in his defense, asserts that he never lived a self-indulgent life while ignoring the needs of the poor, the suffering. He states that he actively cared for the needy, the fatherless, and the widow, using his wealth to help others rather than solely for his own comfort. 18. But from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I ever seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I ever raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my sword, Let my arm be torn from the socket. Given the symptoms described, the painful boils and intense physical suffering, Job's disease may have caused his joints to separate or swell, contributing to his gnawing pain. While the Bible doesn't specify the exact disease, the symptoms align with severe systematic illness that would affect a person's entire body, including their joints, leading to breakdown of physical health. 20. For the destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. If I ever made gold my hope, said to find gold, you are my confidence. I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. If I ever observed the sun, which it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so then my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand. This also would be an equal deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. Verse 25-34, you know, because no sin, you know, against God, you know, basically talking about that. So 27-28 here, Job is confronting his accusers, challenging them to prove their claim. He's essentially saying, if I am guilty of the sins you have accused me of, then let me be punished. This statement is a way of declaring his innocence and challenging his friend's assertion that his suffering is a result of some hidden sin. In every era, societies have placed a high value on possessions, power, and reputation. However, true believers must cleanse themselves of a deep-seated desire to prioritize these things over their relationship with the Lord. Their relationship with the Lord always top priority. 20. If I ever rejoiced the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. Using sarcasm, Job emphasized that he never desired his enemy to be cursed. By doing this, he highlights his innocence and refutes the idea that his suffering is a result of any ill will he held towards others. 31. If the man of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? Job declares his innocence by stating that he always provided for those within his household, including his servants. He says that if he had ever eaten his meals alone, while those in his care were hungry and longing for food, he would be guilty. This shows his commitment to caring for his dependents. 33, therefore, if I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept the silence and did not go out of the door. Job searched his innocence by stating that he did not try to hide his sins like many people, Adam or Adam's descendants. This is a crucial point, as we cannot hide from God. Acknowledging and confessing our sin is the only way to receive forgiveness and begin a new forgiven life. 35. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that Almighty would answer me. Then my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my soul, bind it on me like crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land cries out against me, its furies weep together. If I ever eaten its fruit without money, caused its owners to lose their lives, then let thistles grow instead of wheat, weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. The wizard job are ended. Every job and his three friends conclude their long debate without reservation. A young man named Lully entered the conversation. He had been listening silently and became angry that the old wise men were unable to provide a satisfying answer or silence. Job's self-justification. Elvis called both Job and his three friends. He's upset with Job for justifying himself rather than God. And he's equally frustrated with the friends for failing to counter Job's argument effectively. Elliot spends several chapters introducing his speech, boasting about the profound insight he's about to share, and questioning why the old man could not grasp this situation. However, he becomes so caught up into his lengthy introduction and justifying his own rights to speak that he never delivers the promised solution. Instead, his discourse serves as an extended prologue to a main argument that is never fully presented. So finally, God is not presented there. So we covered all three questions, so let us sing all together modern song. So continue to keep on prayer. Mission prayer request, especially this week, is Iran. South Korea, you know, praying with us to keep on. Thank you for the Lord for the 17th anniversary of Calvary Chapel in Daejeon, South Korea. Keep on praying to spread His word. Okay, may God bless you, everybody.